Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Due to your hero, Dan.
I am hero worshiping. I'm on my knees right now, guys.
If you weren't with us the last time Mr. O'Dowd was on, he was reminded Tony Gwynn Jr. of the great base hit that he got in Milwaukee
base
that helped
hit.
Dan's
it was a triple.
Triple.
Let's get it
of
right
course.
Now.
RBI
Don't
triple.
Don't shortchange me now, Chris.
Not shortchanging. It's the three base hit. Sorry.
There you go. There you go.
But the key hit that he got in Milwaukee that helped Dan's Rockies make the playoffs back in 2007. So, but now with MLB Network and baseball winter meetings, how have these things changed since you were coming as a general manager a decade or so ago, Dan?
Oh, there was much more interactive experiences when I was a GM, certainly early on in my tenure. You know, you'd meet with teams, you know, you formed relationships, you'd go to each other's suites, you'd talk the game of baseball. You pretty much try to scout each other's organization by asking about everybody's players and find out who they like from you. But, you know, near my end of my tenure, it was Texas, emails, sometimes a phone call.
Right.
It wasn't a lot of personal interaction in the, you know, in the process. I don't think the game is better for that. And, you know, I'm certainly the people that went through what I went through missed that part of the game, too, because and it was fun. You know, you'd stay up late at night. You try to put together deals. You get your heart broken on others. And halfway through the season, you were saying, oh, my, thank God that deal didn't go through.
Right.
But, you know, it's still you're still doing the same concept, which is you're trying to build your roster any way you possibly can.
Did you ever make a – sorry, Tony, but just did you ever make a deal like sitting on the couch in your suite with the team and shake hands right there? Did one ever get done over a glass of water in a hotel room?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I could tell you.
Glass of water, I know. Well, that's – you notice how he just kept moving right on with that.
Yeah, I didn't even respond to that.
Didn't respond to that.
Yeah, you know, as an assistant GM, that's how the – going back many years now – John Hart and I sat on Jack McKeon's couch in his suite as he was smoking.
Captain Jack.
It was a long time ago, so he was smoking cigars in his suite.
Back in the day.
And that was the big Joe Carter for Sandy Alomar Jr., Carlos Baerga,
that was a big
Chris
one.
James.
How about that?
So, yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
We had A.J. Preller on earlier, and he brought up the whole text message thing and how that's kind of how everybody communicates. You mentioned you didn't think it was necessarily good for the game.
No.
In what ways?
Hey, you know, in any field, creating authentic relationships is so crucial to the environment and culture of the game. So you really have tough times creating relationships via texts. But when you sit in each other's suites and you look each other in the eye and you personally learn a little bit more about your brethren in the game, and it only facilitates a healthier way to do business.
Yeah.
You know, there's analytics and then there's human analytics. And you know, my concern in our game at times is that, you know, the analytical part of the game is kind of overwhelming the human analytical part of the game, and the game is still played between the white lines from a lot of gray area standpoint, which is the human part of it.
Yeah. If it was all on paper, then the same team would be there every single year. So.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I mean, the beauty of analytics is that it's black and white, and there's no debating it. It paints a very clear picture. But unfortunately, a game is not played black and white.
Right. Speaking of those analytics and the proliferation now of the shift. Tony and I have been talking to people today, been saying that the rules committee is meeting tomorrow, evidently, and the shift is going to be a big topic of conversation on whether they're going to limit it or put some rules in on the shift. I personally can't imagine them doing something like this, but what do you think about this whole shift thing?
Well,
what are they going to do with it?
I think they'll be very pragmatic in their approach. You know, you don't want to make a decision with unintended consequences. Ton of smart people, they're going to make that decision above my pay grade. I'm having some problems with the shift only because I think it's led to a launchier angle. And so, like, I'll use Tony's dad as an example. Tony's dad probably had one of the lowest exit velocity in the game. If his entire career was predicated upon exit velocity and launch angle, we may have never seen one of the greatest hitters of our generation. Wade Boggs, Rod Carew, Ichiro. And my concern with shifts, very simply is that I think it's guys aren't making the adjustment to hit the ball the other way.
That's
guys,
right.
The adjustment guys have made is try to hit the ball over
shoots. Yeah.
And so I have no problem with the length of games. I have more problem with what goes on during the games.
Yeah.
And the lack of play, constant action during the game, I think is problematic for our game. And the people that run the game understand that. So the one problem shift I really have is when you do everything right and you square a ball up the middle and you have a shortstop playing right there
yeah.
where he should never be playing and you don't get a hit, and that happens consistently, I really do have a problem with that. So I'm not sure about banning the shifts. I mean, a guy that still rolls over the ball on the 4-3 hole, he's still going to get out.
Yeah.
It's the other parts of shifting, because you keep saying, well, why don't players make an adjustment? Because velocity's creeped
higher,
that much.
Yeah.
Velocity puts a lot of pressure on the hitter. It makes hitters do things that makes them uncomfortable, and that part of the game's not going away.
You talked about the unintended consequences. That's kind of where analytics has got. There's been unintended consequences to the analytics and all the information that teams have. Is there a short-term fix, or is this a long-term fix? Because, you know, along those lines of guys trying to beat the shift, it seems like organizations have kind of promoted that philosophy in thinking of as far as hitting is concerned too.
Well, I'm hoping it's a cyclical part of the game, but I'm not sure anymore. I mean, you know, for me, the inactivity you see at the Winter League meetings as we sit here today is because groupthink. I'll give you an example. The second basemans there's a ton of second basemans that are free agents on the market. So you won't see many second basemans that are traded for unless they're a really young prospect. So what clubs do now different than years ago? So years ago, we would prioritize our second basemans. And I would say, okay, well, you know, a DJ LeMahieu we acquired in Colorado, we want DJ LeMahieu. So we're going to focus on DJ LeMahieu. Now, because of analytics, all the second basemans get lumped into the category. And though, let's say DJ LeMahieu comes up, percentage is better than somebody else, the GMs today say, well, you know, I like DJ LeMahieu, but I may not like him enough. I want to see where the market settles first, because I want an opportunity to buy on the right player.
Right.
That leads to nobody making a decision on any second baseman.
So at least until January, right?
So, and that's well, or even beyond.
Beyond, right.
And again, that's that part of the game I'm not so sure, you know, that's good for the game either.
Dan, I know you got to run real quick. If you were running the Padres and you had this great farm system, how would you go about when to push the button as far as turning this great farm system into something great at the major league level? What's the best way the Padres should try and do it?
You know, my advice always was you have to know your own players better than anybody else's players.
Yeah.
And second time we've heard that today.
Yeah, so I know.
You hold on to those that you know are going to be impactful difference makers. And there's a difference between an impactful player and a good player. And let me define that for you. A great player that you know is going to make other players great is better than just simply a great player. So the guys that do that, you do not want to change. You do not want to move those guys in any way, shape, or form. The rest of them, you know, you begin to put in play, because other clubs aren't going to know them the way you know them, to try to really start making progress next year. They need to make progress next year. They need to make incremental improvement next year to start to build a culture and a mindset that they can win there. And, you know, what happens in Atlanta just doesn't happen all the time.
Right.
And so to expect that to happen, I think, is unrealistic. So, I do believe they need to be active, but they really need to know their own players well. And as I told you guys when I had you on the radio show, my only concern when you go through a rebuild, you want to look at that rebuild and you want to say, okay, that's a core guy, that's a core guy, that's a core guy, that's a core guy. They certainly, I'm sure, in their own mind have those guys. But I look at it from the outside in, and I'm not sure who those core guys are necessarily at this point in time. So those are the issues the Padres have to decide as they move forward.
Great stuff, Dan.
Thanks so much for the time.
Appreciate you dropping by. Great meeting you.
Nice meeting you guys.
And I know Tony Jr. is just as thrilled to meet you as you are to meet him. Dan O'Dowd there, former general manager in the big leagues. Longtime Colorado Rockies, also an assistant in Cleveland with John Hart, who was quite successful, by the way.
Yes.
So Dan O'Dowd had some good stuff as an executive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.